So this morning I thought we'd take a look at our theme for Christmas this year, which is Light of the World, coming from John chapter 1. I'd planned and done my normal PowerPoint and then somehow managed to not save it onto my thumb drive, so it's not actually with us this morning. So I've just got the reading for us up, which is John 1. We'll come to that in a moment or two. But first of all, I want to tell you a little story. A young man went from paper to paper trying to get employment as a cartoonist. He was rejected by every single paper, saying, "You've not got enough talent to be used by us." And finally, a large church decided to employ him to draw some cartoons for their church magazine. It was a very poor-paying job, but they gave him somewhere to stay in an old part of the manse where the vicar lived. One morning as the sun arose, he was awakened by the sound of a mouse scurrying across the floor next to his bed. And he began to sketch said mouse. Of course, that sketch of the fictional character turned into a mouse called Mickey. And Walt Disney looked back on that Sunday morning and the sun shining through his window as the start of his career and what became of him. It's amazing, it's incredible, the things that happen in history when light hits. When things are suddenly brought into light. We know that lots of things are hidden in darkness, aren't they? But when you bring a light or a light shines onto them, you see what happens. I wonder if you treat your life as an adventure every morning when the light comes through the window or you hit your light on your bedside table as the alarm wakes you up far too soon from last night when you went to sleep. There's light when God brings the sun up every morning. And as I was standing singing earlier on, the light, the sun just shone through the window. I thought, well, that's a great example of light coming and being given by God to each one of us. And I wonder if you think about the sun very often and think about light in your life. It's great in the summer, isn't it? You go outside, you might stand there and just think, oh, it's lovely and nice and warm. The sun's shining down on you. Everything feels so much better when there's a bit of heat in the sun. Not too much, you don't want to fry, but, you know, just a little bit of heat. And a little bit of brightness, it cheers everybody up. I don't know if you're a person who suffers from SAD, or season something or other deficit or whatever it is, where you don't get enough sunlight, and you don't get enough sunshine, so your vitamin D levels drop, and you feel really miserable. And then when summer comes round, you're a different person, because all of a sudden you're out in the sunshine, and if it's not too much like a British somewhere it rains every other day, then actually things are really good. And that sunlight, that light that God gives us, is good for us. Not too much. You don't want to get red skin, end up with skin cancers and things like that. But you want enough to benefit you. And God gives us that light to benefit us. But I wonder if you've ever thought about the first dawn. In the middle of creation, well, actually quite close to the start of creation, God creates light. And he sees it and says, it's good. It's good. And that first morning, when the sun rises that first time over whatever else was there on the earth, before the creation of most of what we know, God made light to shine and to bring life onto his creation. If you like, you see God as an artist, as he paints his creation, as he creates all the things that go on into his world, creates the animals, creates us, the plants, everything else. It all depends on that light coming back day after day after day. There are very few things that grow in complete darkness. Very few things that actually thrive without some sort of light. I was watching a program a few months back and they were talking about rhubarb being grown in Yorkshire in the rhubarb triangle, and they grow it in big sheds and it's almost pitch black in these sheds, but even in those sheds they have candles to provide some light, so the rhubarb stalks grow up towards the light and the lights are hanging up in the ceiling so that they can be seen, but the rhubarb sprouts up going towards the light. And if you know, if you have grass in your garden, your lawn, it grows very quickly when the sunlight hits it and it's warm enough. It warms up and the grass starts growing. And it's the bane of every gardener. We have to mow it once or twice a week because it grows so quickly when the light hits it. It's the same with us. If we didn't have any light, we didn't have any sunlight coming into our lives, we would find life much harder. Everything becomes much more dark and miserable. I don't know if you know what it's like when you have a few days where there's no sunlight. Everybody feels a bit more down about things. And then all of a sudden you get a day where the sun is out and everybody smiles a bit more. And being very British, we always talk about the weather anyway. So it's always good to have that bit of sunlight to say, oh, it's a beautiful day today. When you look in the New Testament, you can see that John was dazzled by the light of Christ. And he becomes what's known as the Apostle of Light. And his book, the book of John, the gospel that we read, uses the word light more than any other. He has that understanding of God's light coming to earth in Jesus. And the opening chapter of his gospel, he uses some of the most amazing pictures of light. And we're going to read the first 14 verses, so thanks, Adnan. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John makes statements here, doesn't he, that are about Jesus, but they're sort of slightly mysterious. If you read the other Gospels talking about the birth of Jesus or the birth being foretold, they're fairly straightforward. They sort of mention Jesus or Mary and Joseph or what's going on with Mary's cousin Elizabeth and all this sort of stuff and everything that's happening. But John takes a very different sort of view to it. And he talks about the Word and light and so on. And you see this as John tried to understand and comprehend just how amazing it was that God comes to earth as a baby. And the promises that are made throughout the Old Testament, we'll read a few of them next Sunday evening, the promises that are made, they're fulfilled that first Christmas, where light comes down to earth. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about light and what it is. If you're a scientist, you might look at light and how you can refract it and make different colours and all sorts of things out of it. Science revolves around light. They use light for lots of different things. If you've heard of laser technology, that's all about light being concentrated into lasers and so on. If you see people using a microscope, you need light to be able to see what you're looking at as you magnify things. Even electron microscopes look at cells and atoms in cells. They need light in there to be able to see what they're doing. Light's involved from the most minute parts of life to the most gigantic parts of life. If you look at the telescopes that they have, the Hubble Space Telescope and so on, it needs light to be able to translate those radio waves that it gets to be able to show us a picture of the Milky Way and the galaxy beyond. Light is key to all those things. In verse 4 of the reading we've just read, John says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." And then in verse 9 he says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." Later on in John he records Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." And the more you know about the wonders of light, the more you see that this is God's hand on everything. And Jesus coming as the light of the world is really the only way he could come, to shine light into the darkest parts of the world, into the darkest parts of our lives. So light and Jesus have lots in common. Not only because they produce lots and lots of dialogue and conversations and arguments about what it really is, how does it really work, who was Jesus really, how did it really work. There's lots of debate about the nature of light, just as there's lots of debate through theologians about, was Jesus really God? Could he possibly be God as well as man? How does that work? How do you squish God into a man-shaped body? Lots of things written about it. If you want to study, you can have a whole library full of books talking about this and discussing it and arguing it and putting their cases across. Just like you can do with light. What is light? Is it a wave? Is it a particle? If you go back 120 years ago, Albert Einstein, you might have heard of him, wrote a thesis on light, and he proved that it was both. It was a particle and it was a wave. And people gave him the Nobel Prize for physics because of that, because it was so mind-blowing for most people. They couldn't work out one thing or another, but Einstein worked it out. And it's the same with theology. People have these issues about Jesus. Who really was he? And they argue lots and lots about it. But actually, just like with light, Jesus is both things. He is God and he is man as he comes to earth. And it's sandwiched together. It's not two separate issues. It is put together in the form of Jesus. It may not be easy to grasp. It may not seem like it's logically possible. But we have to have that little bit of faith to believe that what we're told is true. If you go back to Genesis, you see the first thing that God makes and sees is good is light. He then begins the process of creation in that order that he does it, as you read through Genesis. And it's seen that everything is growing in light. Now, Christmas marks the beginning of our new creation. It's the beginning of the birth of Jesus. Jesus was born. God is saying for a second time, look, here is your opportunity to come back into a relationship with me. Not just for the Jewish people, not just for the people of Israel that were his chosen people, but for the whole world. For the whole world. And this new order is created when Jesus arrives that first Christmas time. It's no longer something that you have to do every day to make things right with God. It's something that, as we read through the New Testament and we get to Jesus saying, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's that choice that we make to come to God through Jesus that means that our lives are transformed. And the wonder of this is that every human being on the planet has that opportunity to become right with God, to become a child of God. If you take away light, you take away life. As I said before, the darkness cannot produce life or sustain it. There has to be light there somewhere. Only light gives life. Only the light of Jesus coming down to the world gives us our eternal life. It's a wonder that God does things this way. Jesus comes to earth as a child, as a baby, put in a manger. Not as an all-conquering king coming to tell everybody this is what you're going to do. He comes to give us choice. He comes to show us in a very quiet, humble way that there are two ways of going, my way or the other way. And you choose and the decision is yours. I'm not forcing it on you, but this is why I came to earth, to give the opportunity to you. We sung, I think it was last week, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it says exactly how God comes to earth in the form of Jesus. When it's quiet, he says, how silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. How silently? Well, I'm pretty sure the birth wasn't silent, and I'm pretty sure Jesus squawked as a baby as well. But you get the drift. There's not a crescendo of noise as Jesus comes down to earth. Jesus, the light, comes to earth. I don't know if you've ever been stopped by light as you've been walking through it. Light doesn't stop you as you walk through it, does it? You can walk through a sunbeam and not feel anything apart from a bit of warmth. Now, if you walk into a cotton thread, you might notice it as you brush through it. But you don't notice that with light. It doesn't make us feel anything. There's no pressure on us in front of it or whatever. But it's there. And we feel it as the warmth on our body. We feel it as that momentary, oh, that's nice. You know, that's a nice bit of sunshine there through the clouds, whatever it is. The wonder of Jesus as light coming down to earth is that he can silently enter our lives and change us 100%. Takes over the power of darkness and puts his light into each one of our lives and changes our lives around. God gave the world a spiritual blast that first Christmas, something that is still reverberating around the world today. If you think of the most powerful volcano, I think it was Krakatoa, when it exploded, people would have been able to hear it halfway around the world. A baby being born in a stable outside Bethlehem is still being heard 2,000 years later around the world. That's the power of the light coming to earth. The work of light in the world may be silent, but it's moving and it's powerful. When the baby Jesus had been born and Mary and Joseph took him to the temple in Jerusalem, they met an old man called Simeon. And this old man had been working in the temple all his life, and he takes Jesus into his arms and he praises God because God's shown him that Jesus is somebody special. And he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." So you have an old man there who's been waiting to see the Messiah, the promised one, God with us, Emmanuel. And here comes Jesus as a young baby with his mum and dad. And he comes into the temple, and this is what Simeon says. Now, I've never been anywhere where somebody's given somebody a baby and they said, "Wow, look at this. This is a one-off because this is Jesus." Light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. Light for everybody. An answer to everything, and that is the light of the world. This little baby, already being declared as the light of the world, is the little baby who grows into the man who dies and is resurrected and gives us the opportunity to defeat evil and to have him in our lives. In the physical realm, man's use of light has done all sorts of amazing things. I don't know if you've ever watched the BBC programme Fake or Fortune, where people bring a painting or a picture to an expert and they have a look at it and they say, "Well, you know, yeah, we think it might be this old master, grandmaster, masterpiece by this person." And they always seem to end up at the same place. It's called the Courtauld Institute in London, which is an art institute, and it has lots of experts there and lots of technology there, where they look at these paintings. And one of the things they do is they fire lasers at bits of the painting to work out what the paint is actually made up of. And they had this one picture a couple of years ago. They had this one picture. Everybody thought it was authentic. Even the people who were the experts thought it was authentic. And they took it to this institute. They pointed the laser at it and they zapped it. And they came back with the reading. And the reading said, it's fake. Why? Everybody asked. Well, it was supposedly painted in the 16th century. But in the black paint, there's some zinc in the paint. And zinc wasn't put into black paint till 1890. So therefore, it was obviously painted after 1890. So it can't have been real. And nobody understood until that light shone into that particular area and showed it not to be real. Light reveals the fake. And that's why Christians need to test everything we hear, everything we think about, everything you might think is true. You test it with this. If God's word says no, then the answer is what you're thinking or listening to is fake. It's not true. It's not right. Because this will shine light onto all sorts of different arguments and discussions that you might hear online and all the different places you can go and listen and read things and everything else. But unless it's said so in God's word, I'll be very, very careful about what you listen and what you take into yourselves. Any idea or practice that isn't borne up by the light of God's word, the light of God shining on it, is something that we should get rid of. Because it's really important that we aren't taken in by fakes. You can be as good a theologian as you want to be, but if you're not referring back to God's word, then you're going to go off at a tangent somewhere and get dragged off down some dark side path somewhere, and that's no good for anybody. The Apostle Paul makes this a major issue when he's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Live as children of light. Do as we're called to do. To allow that light to shine into every part of our lives. Not to try and hide things around dark corners so that the light can't shine through them. Because Jesus wants us to be followers of him. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, "But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We're coming to Christmas time. We have lots of lights up in here. If you go out of an evening, I don't know if you walk down your street, if there's Christmas lights on the houses around you, some of the lights are amazing. Some of them are a little bit overwhelming. Some of them are a little bit underwhelming. But that's fine. But there's lots of lights out there. Lots of Christmas lights out there. And it's great to see. And it shines a bit of a brightness into the darkness of a winter's evening. But that light that Jesus can shine into our lives is a light that takes over all those dark points, all those times where we may not think that we can do anything that's good. Jesus says, "Well, actually, if you're following me, you're walking in my light. Therefore, what you're doing is right. Let's just work out and make sure that those darker areas get the light shine on them as well. Let's sort out our lives in that way." I was reading a couple of days ago about a Christian theologian who was also an astronomer. And he'd been in Canada, in the middle of the prairies, when there was a full lunar eclipse, a solar eclipse. And he was standing there and he said, "It was amazing. Everything suddenly went dark. All the birds went quiet. The temperature dropped by about 10 degrees centigrade. And it was something like you'd never seen before. As the sun is hidden by the moon." And he said, "Everything goes really dark. But if you look up at the moon and where the sun should be, you can see this light around the darkness of the moon. Because that light can never be extinguished by the darkness. A little bit of light shines into a very dark area. And as he said, the light shone in the darkness. And as the moon moves, so more light comes out. But when it was completely eclipsed, you still saw light around the edge of the moon." No matter how dark we might see things in our lives, on the news, wherever it is, you can see the light of Christ shining into those situations. No matter where we find ourselves, there is always that light we can turn back to. On the cross, the light of the world went through his death. There was a total eclipse for 3 hours, and there was darkness across the whole world. But as with the sun of our solar eclipse, so as Jesus is resurrected, that light comes back to the world. Now, the cross isn't a very popular Christmas theme. It's not what we like to see on our Christmas cards or anything, is it? We want to see the little manger and, you know, some shepherds and some wise men and a star in the middle of it, and that's great. But without the cross, there's no need for Christmas. Without Christmas, there's no need for the cross. You can't have one without the other. They're intrinsically bound together because that is the story of Jesus coming to earth to be sacrificed for us and then to rise from the dead and to be that light in our lives, to show that the light of his love is stronger than anything that we can have in our lives because of sin. So this Christmas season, let's thank God for his gift of the true life, the true light come to earth. Let's pray, shall we? Loving God, we do thank you this Christmas time as we come to celebrate together, as we come to spend time with family and friends, that your light is shining in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would encourage us to allow that light to shine out to those around us. Lord, through our words, through our deeds, through how we live our lives, through what we say, through what we do, Lord, would our lives reflect the glory of your light and your love in us. And Lord, we thank you that as we come to this Christmas time to celebrate, to give thanks for your birth, Lord, that we are able to celebrate and give thanks because of all your love for us. Lord, thank you for being the light in our world. And Lord, may we reflect that light as best we can do to those around us, we pray. Amen. Thank you.